Today's passage is 2 Corinthians 11, verses 1 to 4. I wish you would bear with me in a little foolishness. Do bear with me, for I feel a divine jealousy for you, since I betrothed you to one husband, to present you as a pure virgin to Christ. But I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. For if someone comes and proclaims another Jesus than the one we proclaimed, or if you receive a different spirit from the one you received, or if you accept a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it readily enough. If you've been following along in 2 Corinthians, Paul's words here are not surprising. He is continuing to implore the Corinthians to know that he has the best for them, and that he wants them to be faithful to God. We've seen it time and time again, that Paul has such a deep care for his brothers and sisters in the Corinthian church, and it pains him to think about their wavering in their faith. So in verse 1, he starts with saying, "Bear with me," as he goes into proving his point again. These first four verses in the chapter don't capture much foolishness yet from Paul. We'll understand why he writes that more tomorrow. In verse 2, he conveys his divine jealousy for the Corinthians again. That phrase, divine jealousy, shows that Paul believes his passion for the Corinthians is from God himself. If you remember, throughout the Old Testament, God calls himself a jealous God, including in the Ten Commandments, where God tells his people that they shouldn't bow down or serve any idols, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. God says he desires an exclusive relationship with his people, and Paul desires that on behalf of God too. He says he is jealous for them, since he betrothed them to one husband to present them as a pure virgin to Christ. He provides an image of a marriage to explain that divine jealousy. Similar to the picture in Revelation, Paul likens the Corinthian church to the bride of Christ. To stay faithful would mean that the church can be presented as a pure virgin to Jesus, as should be the case. It would be tragic, after all, if the Corinthians entered a different relationship before the wedding, before their marriage relationship with Jesus. That's the goal. That's what should happen. The church presented to Christ as a pure virgin. But in verse 3, Paul says that he is afraid that they'll be led astray, just like the serpent deceived Eve in the Garden of Eden. Paul is afraid that their thoughts will be led from a sincere and pure, second time he uses the word pure, devotion to Christ. Verse 4. For if someone comes and proclaims another Jesus than the one we proclaimed, or if you receive a different spirit from the one you received, or if you accept a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it readily enough. The concern is that there are different spirits, gospel, Jesuses that the Corinthians tolerate. What does Paul mean by this? How can there be another Jesus? From the context of the whole letter, which we have read so far, we know that the false apostles, or false teachers, are trying to influence the Corinthians towards the way of the world instead of the true gospel. Remember, these are some of the things that they are saying about Paul. They are saying that he needs to prove himself, that he should get a letter of recommendation, that he doesn't measure up, that he writes sharp letters, but he is a weak speaker in person, and so on. On the other hand, what is the gospel that Paul has been preaching throughout 2 Corinthians? I'll read a few verses for us. 2 Corinthians 4, 7-10. But we have this treasure in jars of clay, to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. 2 Corinthians 5:16-17. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come. And 2 Corinthians 8:9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. These are just three excerpts, but throughout the letter, Paul has made it clear that the gospel he preaches is about the power of God, the power of Christ's resurrection, and that though we all walk in the flesh, it's not about the flesh, because it's about Jesus in us who makes us a new creation. From what we can piece together, the false gospel that the Corinthians would be tempted to follow is a warped message that does not emphasize Jesus' suffering or the suffering that his followers are to endure also. A modern day equivalent would probably be the prosperity or the health and wealth gospel, where the message is to follow Jesus because he will bless you materially. If people subscribe to this gospel, they give so that they will receive more on the earth. It's attractive for obvious reasons, but it's false because Jesus did not preach riches on this earth. On the contrary, the true gospel says that treasures on earth make it really hard to enter the kingdom of God, and that the true gospel is that Jesus had to be broken for our sins, and it's only by his grace that we can receive the true treasure, which is a relationship with him. Some Corinthians needed a wake-up call from Paul to remember the real Jesus, to focus on the true gospel, which includes Jesus' suffering because of our sin before the resurrection, and which also includes our need to endure through suffering in hope of our true home in heaven. And we also need these reminders, too, as Christians today, to not be deceived by the enemy into following a false gospel. A big temptation for us living in America is living for comfort. How many times are we tempted to not follow through with the conviction from God just because it's not comfortable, or just because it's different than what we are used to? Today, let's reflect on Jesus again and allow the true gospel to shape how we live. Let's pray against any compromises or living for the world, but that we would have this devotion to Jesus and that we'd be found pure when we are presented to him one day. Let's pray. Dear God, we pray that, Lord, like the Corinthians, that we would be just from any ways that we've allowed the enemy's deception to tempt us. God, we pray that we would not fall into the patterns of thinking of this world, but that your Spirit would renew and transform our minds to know the true gospel. God, if somehow we have warped it or just been worn down by this world, God, I pray that today your Spirit would convict us to look at Jesus again, to look at the cross and the power of the power that Jesus, you have given us to also persevere as we follow you, Jesus. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.